ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट नंबर 42 to 46। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज प्रहलाद सेंटली सन ऑफ हिरण्यकशिपु। प्रयेशे पहते तस्मिन् दैतेन्द्र परिशंकित चकार तद्वधोपायान् निर्भंदेन युधिष्ठिर। माय डियर किंग युधिष्ठिर, व्हेन ऑल द अटेम्प्ट्स ऑफ द डीमंस टू किल प्रहलाद महाराज वर फटाइल, द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस हिरण्यकशिपु, बीइंग मोस्ट फियरफुल, बिगन कंट्रिविंग अदर मीन्स टू किल हिम। दिग्गजैर् दंडशुकेन्द्रैर् अभिचार्वापतनैः मायाभिसन्निरोधैश्च गरदानैरभोजनैः हिमवायुअग्निशलिलैः पर्वताक्रमणैरपि न शशाकयदाहन्तुम् अपापम् असुरसुतम्। चिन्तां धीर्गतमां प्राप्तस् तत्कर्तुं नाभयोपद्यत। हिरण्यकशिपु कुड नॉट किल हिज सन बाय थ्रोइंग हिम बीनीथ द फीट ऑफ बिग एलिफेंट्स, थ्रोइंग हिम अमॉन्ग ह्यूज फियरफुल स्नेक्स, एम्प्लॉइंग डिस्ट्रक्टिव स्पेल्स, हर्लिंग हिम फ्रॉम द टॉप ऑफ अ हिल, कॉन्ज्यूरिंग अप इल्यूजरी ट्रिक्स, एडमिनिस्ट्रेटिंग पॉइजन, स्टार्विंग हिम, एक्सपोजिंग हिम टू सीवियर कोल्ड, विंड्स, फायर एंड वाटर, और थ्रोइंग हैवी स्टोन्स टू क्रश हिम। When Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. Eshamme bahu asadhukto vadopayascha nirmita taister drohir asadharmair mukta svenaiva tejasa. Hiranyakashipu thought, I have used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad and have devised many means of killing him. But despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers without being affected in the least by these treacherous and abominable actions. Text 46. We'll chant this verse. वर्तमानो नो विदुरे वै बालोप अजडधीर अया न विस्मरति मे नर्या शून शेप इव प्रभो। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened. Because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. Purport. The word Shunaha means of a dog and Shepa means tail. The example is ordinary. However one may try to straighten a dog's tail, it is never straight but always curved. Shunaha Shepa is also the name of the second son of Ajigartha. He was sold to Harishchandra, but he later took shelter of Vishwamitra, Harishchandra's enemy, and never left his side. Hare Krishna. So here Hiranyakashipu, after trying very hard to kill Prahlad Maharaj, he is not able to do so. So therefore, indirectly, he is glorifying Prahlad. And is giving the example of a dog's curved tail. That means can never be changed. So that is the nature of Prahlad Maharaj. As yesterday Gauranga was mentioning, Prakrushta Rupena Alhad. Prabhupada explains, one is naturally happy. He doesn't require any artificial means to be happy. We see in this world that to be happy we are in anxiety. Unless I have this, I can't be happy. So that expectation of getting something to be happy is the exact style of this material world. And eventually that object which we get will never bring us happiness. Because it is not natural, our expectation is not natural. And ultimately it is not connected to Krishna. So here Prahlada's quality of being naturally attracted to Krishna is glorified by Narad Muni. In the fourth chapter of the same canto, when Narad Muni was describing Prahlada's qualities, Prabhupada explains, quoting the same verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, he says, Narad Muni said to Yudhishthira Maharaj, what can I say about Prahlad and about his qualities? He said, my speaking is simply the arrangements of the world. I am simply arranging the words. Because his characters are unlimited and cannot be described by mere words. So Narad Muni was so fascinated by his own disciple. Usually, spiritual master may encourage a disciple. Because guru knows everything about a disciple. He is seeing so many defects in the hearts of the disciple. But that just to encourage, he will glorify. But to be fascinated by a disciple, that is very rare. And here Narad Muni is so fascinated by Prahlad Maharaj's qualities. He is saying to Yudhishthira Maharaj that it's simply arrangements of the words. I can't describe properly. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, who is responsible for that natural attraction for Krishna in Prahlad? He said Narad Muni. Only because of Narad Muni's causeless mercy, Prahlad had a natural attraction for Krishna. We were discussing this in the last class. That is our aspiration, to be naturally attracted by Krishna. Now we are naturally attracted to non-Krishna. Naturally attracted. And it's a struggle, it's such a struggle, even to chant our 16 rounds. What to speak of remembering Krishna? Chanting 16 rounds, that number 16, it gives such a pleasure. I've done with this. There is no Krishna involved most of the time. The number 16 is involved. So that is our condition. But Prahlad Maharaj doesn't need to remember 16 rounds because it's 24 hours remembering Krishna. And we see Narad Muni says this. Shand and Amarka also say this to Hiranyakashipu. Hey, we didn't teach him. He has brought it originally, constitutionally, he has that character. And there's so much an anxiety to mention this point. Just see, there's so much an anxiety to mention this to Hiranyakashipu that is naturally attracted to Krishna. There should be an ecstasy. If we see someone who is naturally attracted to Krishna and just being in his connection, Prabhupada writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that if you are in connection with such a devotee, the shadow, the reflection of his quality will simply drown you. So most of the time when we express some kind of happiness in devotional service, in our conditional stage, is caused because of the connection to devotees. So therefore this quality of Prahlad, being naturally attracted to Krishna, is the subject matter of the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. And that is actually the constitutional nature of the living entity, to be naturally attracted to Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu consciously trying to avoid the attraction of Krishna. So anyone who avoids attraction to Krishna, logically, intellectually, consciously, he is almost like Hiranyakashipu in some degree. And therefore that stubbornness in Hiranyakashipu not to be attracted by Krishna. He knows Krishna. One cannot establish non-existence of God in a natural way. Only in a pervert way one can establish. Because it can never be a truth. Krishna is always existing. His existence is so dominating. So therefore when something goes wrong, God has to come and blame him. God has to come. Even those who don't believe in God, hardcore atheistic, some tsunami comes. Now some Nargis wind came in Burma. So when something happens like this, those who don't believe in God, they don't want to bring God in any of their life. When something happens like this, they have to bring God. Just see. You know what God is doing. God has nothing to do with your life. Why bring God in the picture? But they can't avoid. They need to have some situation where they have to accept that they still have this strong tendency of fear of God. That tendency cannot be avoided. So therefore Prabhupada explains, to be lover of God is much easier proposition than to be hater of God. As Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is trying so much not to accept Krishna. And the problem with Hiranyakashipu is, he has all the evidence of existence of God. Just see, more trouble for him. He had seen Krishna. He saw Krishna in the form of Varahadev kill his brother. And he also knows the qualities of Krishna being impartial and neutral. So that is more trouble. When you know everything about Krishna, you have seen Krishna. Like Prabhupada explains, when Shishupal was killed, you know, they saw Shishupal's soul merging into the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada writes, there was no lack of evidence. There was unlimited evidence to this. It was not hearsay. It was actually seen, observed by Yudhishthira Maharaj. So that is Hiranyakashipu's condition. He was not proved the existence of God by logic or intellectual, you know, presentation. But he had seen it, he had observed it, he had heard it, and he knew the qualities of Krishna. For such a person to become an atheist is almost impossible. It is next to impossible. So similarly, every conditioned soul, especially in the human form of life, it is extremely impossible not to accept the existence of God, not to believe in God. Yes, we may deny his service, we may not want to serve the Supreme Personality of God, but to deny his existence is almost impossible because the evidence is overwhelming. So therefore, this conflict between being naturally attracted to Krishna and artificially rebelling against Krishna is the subject matter of the seventh canto. And from this conflict between Krishna and Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu, the Lord comes. Lord Narsingdev appears from the pillar. Just see how Krishna appears. And very interestingly, when Narad Muni approached Prahlad Maharaj, this is there in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Narad Muni came to Prahlad Maharaj and he said, you are the best of the devotees. No, you are such a devotee. Just see how Lord appeared for your sake. Now Narad Muni was there. He was the responsible for Lord's appearance. But still he's so excited about Lord coming to protect Prahlad Maharaj. And what did Prahlad say? Prahlad said, Lord did not come for me. Sorry sir, you misunderstood. He's telling his spiritual master. And Prahlad has so many evidences to prove that Krishna did not come for his sake. Just mere glimpse of his realization, when we have some ecstasy, some feeling, about Krishna consciousness, you know, there is a false confidence. I am becoming advanced devotee. I deserve it. You know, this ecstasy, I deserve it because all his long practice, you know, so many years practicing devotional service. So this is the sign of I'm making advancement. And what is Prahlad Maharaj? Prahlad Maharaj is seeing Krishna all the time. And when Narad Muni comes to him and he says, you know, Lord is so magnanimous, so wonderful, and you are responsible for his appearance. Brahmaji, Lakshmi, Shivaji, Indra, all these demigods try to appease the Lord, but nobody could do so. And Krishna is so satisfied with you. Such a devotee you are. Such a wonderful, such a great devotee. And, you know, that can go into our head when your spiritual master is saying that. And most of the time it does go into our head. And therefore there is a trouble. But when this kind of appreciation comes to Prahlad Maharaj, he becomes alert naturally. He doesn't have to think. And he said, Narad Muniji, no, Krishna did not come for my sake. Sanatan Goswami beautifully explains. He says he came for the sake of four Kumaras. The four Kumaras, when they cursed Hiranyakashipu, you know, three birth or seven birth, then four Kumaras said that the Lord will come to save you. They said, because to fulfill their words, the Lord appeared. And he said, Lord came not for me, he came for Hiranyakashipu. Why? He said, Hiranyakashipu asked for a benediction. And what was the benediction? The benediction was, no human form, no animal should kill me. Not in the sky, not in the earth, not in the air, not in the water. Not morning, not night. So many benediction. So when Hiranyakashipu asked this benediction, he was expecting Lord to come in a most wonderful form, which never seen before. So indirectly, Hiranyakashipu wanted Krishna to appear in a very unique form, which was not seen by anybody. Who is responsible? I am not responsible. Hiranyakashipu is responsible. My father is responsible for Lord Narasimhadev to appear like this. And just to fulfill his desire, Lord appeared, Prahlad Maharaj says. And then he says, my dear Narad Muni, he didn't come for my sake. He came for the sake of Brahmaji. He said, Lord Brahma, when he benedicted Hiranyakashipu, Tatastu, all of your desires will be fulfilled. What was he expecting? The Lord to come in another unique form. So just to fulfill and protect the words of Brahmaji, Lord appeared. And he said, my dear Narad Muni, Krishna did not come for my sake, he came for your sake. Prahlad says, when my mother was attacked by the demigods, thinking that in her womb, there is another Hiranyakashipu, mini Hiranyakashipu is growing. Baap se beta bada. The son might be bigger than the Hiranyakashipu. We already have one Hiranyakashipu we can't handle. Then what to speak of his son? So they were waiting. The demigods were waiting. They didn't do abortion. They were waiting the child to be born. And they would kill it. And Prahlad Maharaj, even Narad Muni, not even knowing who is there, he just said, demigods, don't worry. This is not a demon. He's a great Mahabhagavat. He's a great Mahabhagavat. And hearing those words of Narad Muni, the demigods, they circumambulate the womb of Kayadu. They came to kill the child, but now they're circumambulating. So Prahlad Maharaj says, just to fulfill your words, the Lord appeared. He said, where did he appear for me? He didn't appear for me. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this quality of a devotee of being naturally attracted to Krishna simultaneously has the quality of feeling that I have no attraction for Krishna. I don't love Krishna. And I'm so fallen that why should Krishna come to me? Even though he's continuously experiencing the ecstasy of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada explained this is called as ecstatic love. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami defining the Bhava Bhakti. First he talks about Sadhana Bhakti, then he talks about Bhava Bhakti, then he speaks about Prema Bhakti. And he gives nine characteristics of a devotee, one who is in ecstatic love. Very interesting that these nine qualities are the characteristics of a devotee, one who is in ecstatic love. And the same nine qualities or a characteristics of a devotee becomes a practice of a sadhaka. One is the inherent quality of a devotee in Bhava Bhakti stage. And the same nine, if you read the 64 items of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami, almost all these qualities are there as a practice, not as a quality. We don't possess these qualities, but these are our practice. And this practice of nine qualities leads to Bhava Bhakti, that is the assurance given by Rupa Goswami. Very interesting. Therefore, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti or prema bhakti, the apparent exhibition of devotional activities or the process is the same. There is no difference. But one has a natural qualities of being attracted to Krishna and one is trying to develop these qualities. And Rupa Goswami explains that what are these nine characteristics? First is kshantir. Kshantir is tolerance, patience, forbearance, perseverance. Prabhupada writes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Parikshit Maharaj is exemplified of this quality. When he was cursed by this Brahmana boy, Sringi, that within 7 days you are supposed to die by the bite of Takshaka, Parikshit Maharaj was fearless. Why? Because he was naturally attracted to Krishna from his childhood. It was natural for Parikshit Maharaj to feel fearless. And he told all the sages on the bank of the Ganga, let whatever this Brahmana boy has created, snake or a snake bird, let it come at once and bite me while I continue to hear the glories of Lord Hari. He had that kind of confidence and forbearance. And now the same quality which is naturally there in Parikshit Maharaj is asked by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita for us to tolerate the unchangeable situation. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukadukada agama payano nitya stam titikshasva bharata. Because we don't have a choice. This material world is so created that if you look for choice to save yourself from troubles, I don't want this one, I don't want this one, I don't want that one. It is not possible. Because the material world is created so. You cannot avoid. Only when we accept the choiceless choice, no choice, then life is more peaceful. When there is expectation of maybe this choice, maybe that choice. And Kali Yuga especially, you know, is the age where we are given hopeless hopes. You change this one, you'll get here some peace. Keep changing. But Krishna from very beginning says, no, you cannot. There is no choice. So therefore, when we understand this 2.14 Bhagavad Gita, that one is Parikshit Maharaj naturally practicing this quality, that having that patience and that tolerance. And for us, like Prabhupada explains, that one should always forgive minor offenses of others, which doesn't happen in local trains of Bombay or anywhere. Every day there is minor offenses are going on, but major quarrels are going on. In family life, minor offenses are going on between husband and wife, but there is a major quarrel. That is the tendency. Take something very insignificant so seriously and something serious, Krishna consciousness, so lightly. That is material world. Kali Yuga means what? Take something so insignificant so seriously and so seriously so lightly. Bhakti is so important. We are willing to forego our devotional service just to get our minor things. Giving them so important. Just like Prabhupada quotes in the He quotes Niti Shastra. He says that in the forest, Aja Yudde, the goats fight. Dampatya Kalaha Chaiva. And there is, you know, some kind of dispute in the family between husband and wife. And Munish Radde, Megha Dhambike. He said in the summer when the clouds rumble, he said nobody takes it seriously. And when the goats are fighting, and there is no big crowd. Oh, let us go and watch Pakistan-India war. Just like if you go to Amritsar, there is Wagha border. And it's a big show. And there is no fight. No, they are doing parade, both armies. And they are closing the gate with such a gusto and lot of flags are being raised. People come there in thousands to watch it. But it is just like, you know, the fight of the goats. There is no actual fight. So Chanakya Pandit says one should not give much importance to this. Why? Because The principle of tolerance has been taught in the Bhagavad Gita. One should tolerate the minor offenses. Like now in our ashram, you know, exponentially growth from 103 to 133. The same number of bathrooms are there. Same number of toilets are there. Same place is there. So it is natural for the older devotees to be disturbed a little bit. That is natural. But one has to see, wow, the number is growing. But the number is growing, anxiety. One has to tolerate these minor difficulties. It is not at all major difficulty. It is a burden of happiness. It is natural. So therefore, when we understand this principle, one is naturally tolerating and one has to practice in the material world. Like in the vada form, we were discussing with the children. There are three kinds of relationship in this world. One is forced upon us. You don't choose parents. They choose you by, you know, whatever samskaras or no samskaras, the child is born. And then because he is born there, they become his parents. He can't change that situation. He has to live with that. He can't divorce. I divorce my parents. There is no such thing. So certain relationship is forced upon us. And rather than cursing that relationship, one has to live with it. You can't avoid it. And based upon that relationship, you know, you'll have some uncles and aunts, some brothers and sisters. All these relationships will be established even though you don't want it. Just like somebody goes to a school. Now the parents have sent him to the school. And sometimes you get these teachers who are not so nice. You have to develop relationships with them as a teachers. You don't want it, but you don't have a choice. You have to live there. And second relationship is that we choose. In a superficial way, just because we like each other, because the same conditions are there, we make a wrong choice or we make a right choice. The relationship is developed. And third kind of relationship is that the relation of compassion. A devotee, pure devotees, Vaishnavas, you know, they force their association to us so that we can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So one is forced negatively, one is forced positively. So Krishna always creates a facility for us where there is a balancing factor. So therefore, this principle of tolerance is the greatest austerity in this age of Kali. And if we can do it, we get the same benefit of Parikshit Maharaj tolerating the curse given by that Sringi in ecstatic love. Very interesting. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Now when we read these nine characteristics of Bhava Bhakti, we feel, oh, it's not for me. But then these same qualities are there also in 64 items of devotional service. And second, not wasting of time. This is the second, Avyartha Kalatvam. And the example is given. Rupa Goswami gives the example that this is from the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. A devotee is praying, my Lord, I want to remember you all the time within my mind. Engage with my body in your service and use my words in glorifying you. 24 hours. And we see that in the Srila Giriraj Maharaj mentioning, one time he was in Kumbh Mela and then he wanted to go to take bath or he wanted to come back to the campsite where devotees had their campsite and the rickshaw was not willing to come. He said, no, I don't want to come. Apparently it seemed that he was lazy. But why was he lazy? Because he was planning to take bath in the confluence, in the Triveni Sangam. So we see in this world, especially nowadays, where there is such a competition, people are very active. We don't find anybody lazy nowadays. Very less. Everybody is active. But at the same time, when you ask for spiritual culture, you know, one can read all the computer's book, but to read Path of Perfection, it is so difficult. The books, one devotee is mentioning, no, that he has read so many books, but last 5 years, he has read only first canto of the Bhagavata. Laziness in taking to the path of spirituality. or taking Krishna consciousness seriously, wasting time. You know, we have so many social functions for grihasthas. And there is so many, you know, this and that. But in regards to attending Bhagavatam class, coming for Mangalarti, and there is a difficulty. So therefore, one has to discipline. We were discussing in our relationship seminar. For any relationship to establish, it doesn't happen on a sadhaka, on a practicing level. It doesn't happen spontaneously. There has to be some conscious effort made. Only when we make a conscious effort, then it is possible. Assumption will not do. There has to be a discipline. That's how one can avoid the principle of avyartha kalatvam. And then Rupa Goswami explains viraktir. And what is virakti? Natural distaste for material things. Natural distaste. That is virakti. And Rupa Goswami explains again in the 64 items of devotional service. Again, this is a sadhana. One is bhava bhakti. He has a natural distaste for material things. And on the sadhana's level, Rupa Goswami explains, one is willing to give up anything and everything to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Anukulyasya sankalpa. Just say sharanagati. The word sharanagati is very scary. No. Surrendering everything to Krishna. Prabhupada always says that when Krishna said, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me, that proposition scared people. Why should I do it? Therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, don't surrender, just chant Hare Krishna. He said, just chant Hare Krishna. So here the principle Rupa Goswami explains, after saying that Mahaprabhu, he only said this to Rupa Goswami. The 64 items are taught by Lord Chaitanya to Rupa Goswami. He says it's willing to give up everything so that he can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. That is another principle in sadhana bhakti. One is the practice and one is natural. In practice, it is difficult. In natural, there is no pressure. You spontaneously do it. Therefore, anukulyasya sankalpa is the first stage of saranagati. Again, Mahaprabhu told this to Rupa Goswami. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable, accept that. And whatever is not favorable, reject that. This is the first two principles of saranagati. Before having that concept, oh, rakshisiti vishwaso, goptrute varanam tata, they come later. But we begin with these two principles. So that is viraktir. And the example is given of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj, he had everything. Beautiful wife, big family, big kingdom. But he quit all of that, just like someone, after passing stool, he leaves that place without even looking at it. That is a natural kind of detachment. But one who is constipated in this material world, he has to struggle to give up material sense gratification. But still, because, you know, the material sense gratification is like a stool only. Unless we release it. Just like Prabhupada tells that story. When Gopal Bhan came to Raja Krishna Chandra. And Raja Krishna Chandra asked, how do you feel after my son being born? And Gopal Bhan said, I feel very good after passing stool. And King felt offended. What is this? I'm asking him, how do you feel, you know, about the birth of my son, who will be the future king? And Gopal Bhan is saying, I feel very good after passing stool. Then he actually demonstrated it to the king also. So therefore, you know, it's such a beautiful example given by Bhagavat, that just quitting and walking away. But one has to practice that detachment. And that is what explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. If you just practice these two principles very systematically, then rakshisiti vishwaso is natural stuff. Automatically Krishna gives that realization. That, you know, just accept whatever is favorable. We have many examples of grihasthas also. Our Anand Vrindavan Prabhu is there. And Krishna is providing time, providing money, provided a good son also, good wife also, good facilities to preach also. And then Krishna is providing to help also other devotees. But what was the principle? The principle was whatever is favorable, accept it, and whatever is not favorable, reject it. And that is detachment. And next, Rupa Goswami explains mana shunyata, pridelessness. In spite of having high position, he gives the example of Bhagirath Maharaj. Bhagirath Maharaj had a high position, but still, when he took to the life of detachment, he would go begging to the house of his enemies. He went to the house of a chandalas, dog eaters, and begging from them. And Prabhupada writes the example of Lala Babu. He said, Lala Babu went to his rival political people, you know, to beg, asking bhiksha from them. So mana shunyata, again in this world, to live in this world, it is very important that if you don't practice this principle, we can't thrive, we can't progress. Like one of our devotees was doing book distribution in Viti station, and he was so exhausted, he was sitting in a train which was going to Delhi or, Kolkata. And then he stretched his leg underneath the seat which was opposite to him. And one elderly person came, and this elderly person, you know, he saw that his feet is beneath the seat, not over the seat. And somehow that was his seat, and he got identifying with seat. Just see, ye mera seat hai, mere seat ke upar ye pair rakha hua hai. He was so disturbed. And then he said, why are you putting your foot on that? Clean it. He said, sir, I have not put on the seat, I have put it underneath. Whatever it is you have to clean, you just start chastising him. And this devotee, without further arguing, he took his dhoti and he cleaned the seat. He cleaned the seat. And this elderly man kept on saying something, became more angry. Started saying something more to this devotee. He said, sir, sorry, you know, if I made a mistake, please forgive me. And old man, I don't think anybody was listening to him, so therefore, releasing all of his anger towards this devotee, he kept on saying something. And three young guys were sitting there, they were like, you know, totally materialistic young people doing their stuff. When they saw this whole situation, they became so upset. And meanwhile, this old man made a comment to our devotee, "Ek jhapad dunga tumko." When he made that comment, he didn't say anything, and these three boys got up. He said, "Laga usko jhapad, tumko hum tino milke marenge fir." Just because he acted humbly, without retaliating, alone, what could he do? Simply spoil the name of ISKCON, spoil his name. But three outsiders got up, and they could do it because they were young and this guy is an old man. And he said, you are acting so viciously. This young person is, you know, cleaning your seat, and then you're abusing him, and now you're talking about beating him. He said, you touch him. And they started giving him all kinds of bad words, whatever they learned in their colleges. So they made some advancement in Krishna consciousness, helping this devotee. So this pridelessness, you know, very interesting that whenever this principle is used in our, of course, not like Bhagirath Maharaj, the way he was using it, but even in our behavior, just forget about our own opinions. Many times because my opinion is not accepted, what is my opinion? So worthless. But still we are so attached to my opinion. And therefore there is a conflict in relationship. So giving up that is also one of the principle in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the next, Rupa Goswami explains Ashabandha. Ashabandha is firm assumption that one will attain the mercy of Krishna. And Rupa Goswami quotes his own brother Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami says, he said, "O Krishna, I am not qualified for anything. I cannot remember you. I cannot chant your names. I cannot perform Ashtanga Yoga through which I can see Lord Vishnu. Neither I have a inclination to practice jnana, nor I can practice varnashram. What to speak of practicing varnashram, I do not have a good birth also. So in such condition, when you see all disqualification, that doesn't give rise to hope. That gives rise to tendency to commit suicide. Suicidal tendencies are developed. I'm good for nothing. And the society also says that I'm good for nothing. So what should I do? Jump from a big building. Suicidal tendency. So here Sanatana Goswami is saying that I have no qualification in anything, but still my Lord, there is a great hope arising within my heart. Why? Because I know you are causelessly merciful. Because I have heard about you are causelessly, your causeless mercifulness, that gives rise in me that great hope. One day I will achieve Krishna. So when we see, therefore, in the Kunti's prayers, Kunti is praying to Lord Krishna that those who are Nishkinchan, those who are Akinchana, Krishna is Akinchana Gochara. But usually when you are Akinchana, when you have nothing, especially in the material world, and especially when you are living with great number of people who are very qualified, you may have some qualification, but you'll always find somebody more qualified than you. It always happens. Even IITians commit suicide. Right? Now, what is there for them to commit suicide? Everything is there. They have done a lot of piety, therefore they got to IIT, they got their degrees also, they get the job also. There are thousands of engineering college. They can always feel, oh, I'm so fortunate. But they don't feel. What do they feel? They feel hopelessness. And when you feel hopelessness, then you become either eccentric or you commit suicide. So therefore, Rupa Goswami makes this as one principle of ecstatic love, Asha Bandha. To see that I don't have anything, and that gives rise to great love for Krishna. That Krishna, there is a great hope that I will achieve you. So therefore, when we live in the association of devotees, somebody is more qualified, to be amused by their quality brings you their quality also. But being affected by envy, then you don't develop those qualities, but you feel simply inferiority complex. Just like somebody is a great cricketer, we see all the kids, even devotee kids. Because they're attracted by some big cricketer, they're talking about him, they're seeing him play. At least some imitation comes into their life. There is no question of, at least in their young age, they don't feel inferiority complex. I don't think I can ever become Sachin Tendulkar. No, that tendency is not there. Simply being fascinated by his quality or his style of playing, one develops those qualities. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, even though it blast materialistic civilization, but whenever he saw something wonderful, even materially in some big people, you know, he would say, he talked about the Queen of Britain. He said, she is the most pious lady. And devotees are shocked. How can she be pious? She is not chanting Hare Krishna. She is not a devotee. But how she can be so pious? Prabhupada said, she is famous. She is beautiful. She is wealthy. She is powerful. So anyone who has this quality, she has to be pious. So just see the observation. So there is no envy. Rather, you know, praising her good fortune, her piety. So when we do like that, naturally we also adapt. Just like being with a pure devotee. Being with a pure devotee, what does it do? You are fascinated, you are attracted. You are attracted by their purity. And because you are attracted by their purity, being in their association, you also develop their qualities. Therefore, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna explains, Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam, in that verse, Krishna says, one attains my very nature. Attaining Krishna's very nature means what? We also develop Krishna's qualities. Constantly remembering Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities positively, forces us to develop his qualities. Even minutely, and even that minute degree of Krishna's quality, is sufficient to take us back to the spiritual world and drown others also into the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, if we see something powerful, wonderful, one should understand it is a spark of Krishna splendor. And this is going to happen in the association of devotees. You'll have someone, most of the time, someone more powerful than you, more powerful than us, more qualified than us, more intelligent than us, more beautiful than us. But if we analyze, I don't have it, I don't get it, this tendency, what does it make? It makes one hopeless. When we become hopeless, the desire to practice Krishna consciousness is destroyed. But when you appreciate these qualities, then that gives rise to hope. And at least some qualities we also develop. This is the human psychology, and that is how material world is created. Ashabandha. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami, he goes so negative, absolutely no qualification. And he says, therefore, I have got hope that one day I will achieve your mercy. Rupa and Sanatana, when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they made the same thing also. That our desire to achieve your mercy is like a dwarf trying to catch a moon. What is the chance for a dwarf to catch a moon? But because we have heard your glories of how compassionate you are, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this great desire has developed within us to attain your mercy. That is Ashabandha. And then, what is the sadhana bhakti in this? Expecting Lord's mercy. One of the 64 items of devotional service. Rupa Goswami explains that one should eagerly await, expecting Krishna's mercy. One day the mercy will come. And he gives the example of Tattenu Kampa Susamikshamana. If you fold your hands and wait for Krishna's mercy without being hopeless, I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that hopelessness is a sign of atheism. One who loses his hope, that is a sign of atheism. Atheism is, one becomes atheistic because he becomes hopeless. So therefore, becoming hopeless is a sign of atheism. And being hopeful all the time, especially in regards to achieving Krishna's mercy, is the sign that one is advancing in Krishna consciousness. And the next, Rupa Goswami explains, samutkantha, longing, eagerness, having intense greed to serve Krishna. And he quotes, O Lord, O flute player, the sweetness of your early age is wonderful within three worlds. You know my unsteadiness and I know your unsteadiness. My devotee is praying to Krishna. And therefore, I am eager to see you in a solitary place. And Sadhaka, Rupa Goswami explains, he also prays. In the Vigyapti, there is Lalsamayi, there is Samprarthatmika, and there is Dainyabodhika. Dainyabodhika is humility, Lalsamayi is, eagerness, Laulyam. That greed to achieve Krishna is part of the Sadhaka. He should have that longing that I want to achieve Krishna. And that longing will give him Krishna. And then Rupa Goswami explains the seventh principle is Namagane Sadaruchi. For an advanced devotee, one who is in the Bhava Bhakti stage, chanting Hare Krishna is not an endeavor. Stopping is an endeavor. To stop chanting Hare Krishna, it's an endeavor. For us to start is an endeavor. When will I start? When should I start? This is our time passes. This is not a right time to chant. Some other time. After doing some nice karma kanda, I will start chanting Hare Krishna. So always chanting the holy name. And very simple principle, we have seen those devotees who practice beyond 16 rounds. The mind is very flickering. And mind allows, especially those who are taken some responsibility. Yesterday Gaurang Prabhu made that point, that we think we are the controller. I control this devotee's life. I have to make him pure devotee. No, Krishna has given me that responsibility. So in this way, we try to be the controllers of people's life. And because all the time thinking about them, thinking about others, thinking about oneself, beyond 16 rounds, what do? We simply think about these things. But chanting Hare Krishna, you know, if you try, keep chanting. And then what happens? It's so practical. One doesn't need to have ecstatic love. At least on this stage, that once we start chanting Hare Krishna, your thinking process stops. Your hearing process begins. And what do we think? We think what we experience. And what do we experience? Experience is wholesale in this material world. Continuous. Just like they say, 20 minute khel or 80 minute vigyapan, some advertisement is going on. Similarly like that. The mind is constantly exposed to the sense object, and whatever sense object it is exposed, that becomes his thinking. And that thinking leads to further speculative thinking. How to use this? How to not use this? How can I do with this? Where I can use this? So thinking is constantly going on like a machine. But chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, immediately puts brake. Like in one place Prabhupada defines, this many years back I read, I think in teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, one definition of Krishna means all attractive. Another definition of Krishna means, Krish means what? Cycle, a continuous cycle. Krishna means to stop. So Krishna also means one who stops the repetition of birth and death. And how does the repetition and birth and death take place? Because of thinking, because of desire. Like Bhurijan Prabhu was mentioning, when you think something mundane, you are preparing another material body. When we desire something, or wish I was this, okay, that becomes a stock. And next life or some life, you have to get that body, what you thought, what you desired. So this is what causes repetition of birth and death. Thinking which is not conducive to devotional service. Just imagine how many bodies every second we are creating. Therefore, the existence in this material world cannot be calculated. Anadi. Anadi, how Kaviraj Goswami has used this word, anadi. The word anadi defines everything, the history of our being in this material world. And why this became anadi? Because continuous thinking, creating a body after body, body after body, body after body. I don't know how many bodies we create every second. Just imagine getting those bodies and coming back again, millions of lifetimes. Therefore, Tukaram Maharaj said, very interesting, eka eka yoni koti koti fera. It is not 84, there are 84 lakh species of life, but it may happen that in one species you may have to come 1 crore of time. Eka eka yoni koti koti fera. But chanting Hare Krishna, what does it do? That cycle, a repetition of birth and death, Krishna instantly breaks that cycle. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant example in the 4th canto. He says, just like Mother Yashoda saw, what did she see? She saw in the mouth of Krishna the entire material. What to speak of entire material? The entire cosmos she saw within the small face of Krishna. And he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Similarly, for a practicing devotee, what does Krishna do? Krishna makes in a compressed file. Everything is compressed. We could never imagine, maybe 15 years back, you know, 1000 lecture can be put in a small jukebox. Never imagine. Anand Vrindavan Prabhu would collect all the cassettes. And our Jagannath Priya Prabhu told, you know, forget these cassettes now. Just get a iPod and I can put, how many lectures are there? 3500 lectures are there. And that time we had 1500 cassettes, making cupboards after cupboard, to keep those cassettes. Everything is compressed. So similarly, Prabhupada explains in the 4th canto, Very interesting, using this example of Mother Yashoda saying Krishna's in his mouth, the entire cosmos. He says, similarly, all our karma, everything is compressed, just like Mother Yashoda seeing everything within the mouth of Krishna. Krishna can do that. And seeing that, you exhaust all your karma. Just see, thinking is giving everyday body, and one chanting of the Hare Krishna destroys instantly everything. Therefore, continuously chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Just see, what is not so important, thinking is not so important, we give serious thought. And chanting is so important for our own deliverance. Just see, in the Narsingha Puran it is explained, this is the difference between Krishna and Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu made a law. What was the law? The law was that everyone has to chant his name. Om Namo Hiranyakashipaya. He actually made a law. Everyone has to chant his name. And it was legally, you know, established that if nobody chants his name, if nobody is chanting, they'll be prosecuted. But nowhere in the scripture Krishna legalizes his chanting. He gives the choice. If you chant, you'll get deliverance. You'll attain love of God. If you don't chant, I'll still keep feeding you. As a hog, I'll keep you stool. As an animal, I'll keep feeding you. I will not stop that. I'll not prosecute you. I'll keep fulfilling your desires. That is the difference. Because God never forces anybody to chant his name. And those who are not God, because they know that they are not God, therefore they have to make it legalized. Chant my name. Therefore they have to bring people in trucks by paying them liquor, cigarette, BDs, village, you know, full truck of full people coming, you know, Jindabad, Jindabad. And every political leader accuses the other political leader because everybody is doing the same thing, bringing people in trucks. But Krishna never does like that. He always gives the choice. Even to Arjun, his best friend, Krishna would have said, Arjuna, look, I spent so much of time with you, spoke Bhagavad Gita to, at least now, you know, chant my names. The Lord said, if you have not understood, if you are not able to deliberate on this, I said, don't worry. I'm willing to speak to the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita once again. So therefore, Krishna doesn't force. Therefore, it is much easier to chant Krishna's name. And what is the power of that chanting? The power of that chanting is that one name has the power to destroy all of our karma. Mountainous karma. Even Himalayan mountain is too small compared to our karma. Because every second, less than a second, we make a body. Just by seeing somebody's cloth, arey, mere ko bhi pehna aise. Ho gaya, material body mil gaya. Because you have to come back to wear that kind of stuff. Oh, my color, you know, that color, I wish I had that color. People talk about their hair also. So soft, wish I had that kind of hair. Get another material body. Just see, so many material bodies we are getting, and chanting Hare Krishna destroys all that material body. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Prabhupada writes there, that what was the fault of Balabhadra Bhattacharya when he wanted to go and see the fisherman and the lantern and the boat, considering that to be Krishna, Kaliya and the jewel on the heads of Kaliya. So Prabhupada says, and therefore Lord Chaitanya slapped him. He slapped him. He said, where does it mention in the scripture that Krishna appears in this age of Kali? And then Prabhupada writes, what was the fault of Balabhadra Bhattacharya? Taking something ordinary to be extraordinary. Taking ordinary person, fisherman to be Krishna and Krishna to be ordinary. He said, I want to go. He is with Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and he is saying, Mahaprabhu, can I go and see Krishna? What else do you get? You get a slap only. Krishna is there, Mahaprabhu is there and he is saying, can I go? Taking permission from Krishna to see non-Krishna thinking is Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says that is bewilderment. Prabhupada writes that is bewilderment. And that is the power of the holy name. And next Rupa Goswami explains gunakhyane, tendency to describe the qualities of the Lord. And this is another principle also in the 64 items of devotional service for the sadhakas. Kirtan. There is Naam Kirtan, there is Guna Kirtan, there is Lila Kirtan. Lila Kirtan means, you know, watching drama is a Lila Kirtan. Hearing Bhagavatam, discussing about Krishna's qualities. And when we discuss Krishna's qualities, as we discuss, then you also acquire those qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the last one is Tad Vasiti Stale Pritihi. Developing attraction to reside in the same place where Krishna performed his pastime. And in Sadhana Bhakti, interestingly, Rupa Goswami at least twice or thrice he mentions this point, that one should reside in the holy place. And he gives the example that even if someone thinks of residing in the holy place, he gets the benefit of residing in the holy place. One is in ecstatic love, one stays in the holy place. Another devotee in practice, he just thinks, wish I could stay. Wish I could stay. He continues to stay in Bombay. But he wishes that I can stay. And simply wishing, expecting, desiring that I want to stay in Vrindavan. And we have seen so many people, so many devotees at Radha Gopina temple actually took Krishna consciousness seriously by the principle of visiting the holy places. So many devotees. You know, they made such a jump just by coming to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri in the association of devotees. They got to do all the five things, five limbs of devotional service. Serving the Vaishnavas, hearing the Bhagavat, being in the holy place, and you're forced to chant 16 rounds in our yatra. Because all the securities are moving around. Solamala karrai kine. So you're forced to chant 16 rounds. So all five limbs of devotional service are practiced. What other choice you have than to become a serious practitioner of Krishna consciousness? So therefore this ecstatic love which Prahlad Maharaj had naturally. But what is that naturality? Prabhupada explains he got it from the mercy of Narad Muni. And in the second canto, Prabhupada explains how do we achieve that ecstatic love. We have the practice. All the practices are there, but how do we achieve that love? Prabhupada writes that Radharani is the tender, feminine part, counterpart of Krishna. And because she is tender hearted, if you pray to her, Prabhupada explains, then she bestows us the ecstatic love. And once we get that ecstatic love, the bhava bhakti, then others will also say, वो तो कुत्ते की पूछ के समान ही है, बदलेगा नहीं, वो हरे कृष्ण ही रहेगा. हरे कृष्ण. श्रील प्रभुपाद की. एनी क्वेश्चंस और कमेंट्स? यस रघुनाथ चरण प्रभु.
Krishna, Prabhu, as grahasthas, we have a certain standard of living in terms of food, clothing, shelter. And what would be a measure of a detachment? You were mentioning Anand Vrindavan Prabhu. So if you could explain principally what would be a measure of detachment for grahasthas and some practical tips as well.
Just like I was just reading one story, Prabhupada saw two ladies come and they were, in the name of simplicity, they were dirty. Prabhupada said, "This is, you should not dress like this. You should dress properly. Your sari should be clean." And then, you know, in the name of cleanliness, we should not be gorgeous. So therefore, the tendency is to take other extremes. So therefore, as a devotee, you know, the simplicity, whatever is required in your workplace, that has to be done. But beyond that, when you are interacting with others, people should at least have that concept very clearly. He is a devotee. He he is practicing some spiritual culture. We may not aggressively try to superimpose our faith, our conviction, our belief, but by our behavior, proper behavior, and that includes, nobody will dislike life of simplicity. Nobody dislikes life of simplicity, but rather people envy the life of gorgeousness. So how in the world one can impress people by being gorgeous? Doesn't make any sense. You simply add a lot of negative vibration from people. But simplicity is opulence. But not shabbiness, not being shabby. And especially devotees, you know, maintaining that same standard. We have many devotees. Either they are in temple or they are in marriage. Their standards are the same. It is not that when you come to the temple in front of Krishna, they are not like dramatists. In drama, you have a different costumes. So similarly, if you keep changing based upon circumstantial situation, then that is not correct. Once you have a standard, that standard has to be established. Whatever people say, doesn't matter. Because you have Guru, you have Krishna, and then you have sincere devotees who will praise. Oh, this is the standard. This devotee practices this standard sincerely. So therefore, what is that standard? Every one of us know. All of us, we know that. You know, as I said, you know, in workplace, naturally one has to be in that situation. But anywhere else, you know, let us not behave in a way which people envious. Rather, they are inspired by devotee simplicity. And if that is practiced, like therefore in our ashram we have a policy that nobody wears silk cloth. Silk is pure to wear, but it is very costly also. So when people see somebody is wearing silk cloth, they will say, this is not fair. So cotton cloth. Why Prabhupada writes, why Mahatma Gandhi was made Mahatma? What was his power? He said his power was simplicity and purity. That man had a purity. He may not be a devotee, and therefore Prabhupada dismantled his philosophy. This is very interesting about Prabhupada's character. Sometimes we don't notice this. We only see he blasting people. He doesn't blast people, he blasts their philosophy. But whatever good he saw, you know, like he would offer respect. One time he was going for morning walk and he was, you know, blasting Mahatma Gandhi's philosophy. But when he saw the statue, he folded his hands. It doesn't mean that Prabhupada stopped worshipping Krishna. He was respecting that character, seeing that, you know, that simplicity what conquered. Prabhupada said he was a dictator practically. But how he became dictator? By simplicity. We were listening to one lecture. He said, Prabhupada said he was practically a dictator. He didn't, just whatever he said, people had to follow. But how he got that power? Because of that, you know, lifestyle. Wherever he went, he maintained that lifestyle. And therefore, naturally, he was very, very much attractive. Even those who don't like his philosophy. Even those who are aggressive. India had two people, Ugragamis and Mandagamis. Non-violent and violent. Even violent people liked his lifestyle. So therefore, you know, devotees maintain the same standard. You are coming, come here in jeans. Don't change. Come, be normal so that people know what you are. Rather than, you know, double standards. It should not be done. Because we can't cheat Krishna, can't cheat devotees. We'll be exposed here or there. That keeps happening. So therefore, you know, we were discussing this in some place. That how much can we do, how much can we keep pleasing on a social level? How much? There is no limit. So somewhere there has to be a balance. You know, my Krishna consciousness is important. And if it is obstructing my Krishna consciousness. I'm becoming old if I don't get to read Prabhupada's books, Bhagavat. If I don't get to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. People die without reading CC and Bhagavatam. You know, that's not fair for Prabhupada's hard work. At least once, Gaurampa was telling that story. Prabhupada asked somebody, are you studying my book? He said, Prabhupada, I'm reading. He said, no reading, studying, study my books. Prabhupada, you know, raised his voice. You have so many functions, this function, that function, hundreds of functions. And hundreds of functions means eating hundreds of outside food. I was discussing this point to one, our Giri Gordon Prabhu. You're getting married. Marriage is the day where is a purified day and you're eating outside food. At least that day your mother or somebody, Krishna Prasad, should be eaten. At least the husband and wife should be eating. But they begin with their contaminated food, eating outside food. Sorry to say this, it's very disturbing to me. Because the most auspicious is a yajna. And what do you take in yajna? Yajna is all pure ingredients are required. And you are also part of the yajna. So naturally, you know, when you worship the deities, how much our pujari department has progressed from 88 to 2008. So much of research, so much of hard work, every ingredient. So many ingredients come from different parts of India. Why do like that? You go to Kalbadevi, all ingredients are there, manufactured in Ullasnagar, Bombay. Huh? Everything you get. But why? Because they are scared. This ingredient may not be pure. One may say, oh, chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient. Oh, chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient, then why worship the deities? If you worship the deities, why not get all the ingredients properly? You know, bath, people have taken proper bath or not. They are having fresh dhoti or not. One can say, chant Hare Krishna and come. If you are chanting Hare Krishna, then don't come to the deity room because not required. When you do deity worship, then there are certain qualifications, certain requirements are there. Similarly, if you follow some Varnashram principles, then you have to execute those Varnashram principles. Otherwise, if you don't execute those Varnashram principles, they are very disturbing to the society. So therefore, you know, one has to start observing. Those devotees are becoming old. Everybody is becoming old. We hear, like Giriraj was saying, I'm 47. I was shocked. Then I realized I'm 40. So we are becoming old. And how long can we stay here? So how long can we continue doing socializing? In the name of, you know, function, devotee's function. It has nothing to do with devotional service. You can't please everybody. It's like worshipping 33 crores demigods. Huh? Gaur Gopal Prabhu, how many figure, how much he said? 1 second. Does anyone know that figure? Some thousands of demigods you have to worship every second. And that each demigod worship constitutes hours of puja. So how can you do it? It is not possible. So therefore, ultimately we have to see, you know, we have some close relationship with devotees, and then even those functions has to be Krishna consciousness principle, you know, that has to preach. People have to be using that. That is a facility to preach Krishna consciousness, not a facility to forget Krishna, our connection with Krishna. So, you know, sorry being too blunt, but I was looking for an opportunity to speak this. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you said about the Queen of Britain, and Prabhupada said that she is a very pious woman, and the devotees were wondering why Prabhupada said that. Then Prabhupada said she is very beautiful, she is very knowledgeable, she is very rich. So, but Queen Kunti says that these are the qualifications actually which hold you away from Krishna, keep you away from Krishna. So, or is it that because she was pious, she had all these opulences?
No, therefore Prabhupada also mentions that piety doesn't give you Krishna. Piety is also an obstacle as much as impiety is an obstacle. But still one has to, when we see from an overall perspective, one is a Krishna conscious perspective, one is a perspective of being, you know, coming from a nice family, cultured family. Just because somebody is cultured doesn't mean that he is a devotee. So Prabhupada is seeing her good karma and bad karma. Her good karma is that, you know, that means she must have been a pious lady. But that piety itself became an obstacle. Why? Because she couldn't take to devotional service. And somebody may be impious from the same country, but he took to, some people took to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness, by definition, is not relative. It is not related, oh, because you are impious, therefore you cannot become a devotee. You are a pious, therefore you can be a devotee. Krishna consciousness is totally independent. It's transcendental. Therefore, there is no karma, there is no jnana. It is totally, absolutely, it's like Krishna only. As Krishna is totally independent, bhakti is also totally independent. Nothing can, you know, cover bhakti. Oh, because I have this, therefore I can be a bhakta. No. Somebody gives money, therefore he gets Krishna. It is not Tirupati. Huh? That is different. You can get a darshan of Balaji by paying money, but to get Balaji, one has to render devotional service under the guidance of a devotee. Then by the grace of devotee, one advances in Krishna consciousness. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Please forgive my offenses which I have committed, I know. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.